Today, we're going to take a look at some predictions for 2023 in the cannabis industry and see where the industry experts, putting that in air quotes, where they think the industry is going to go. This year, you know, I've been finding that more and more it's difficult to get an understanding of where the industry is going because these aren't industry experts. They are subject matter experts. And so they're just telling you what they think. So, you know, I interviewed a guy in the industry who was starting a event company. And I asked him, you know, what's 2020 going to do? And he said, oh, we're going to have events. Well, obviously he didn't know COVID was going to happen. There'd be zero events, but that's kind of the problem with this and where we're at. So that's why I brought on Jesse Redman, founder and managing partner of Higher Calling, a consulting firm, and also author on Green Giants. So him and I kind of break this down and give you guys a better understanding of where we think the industry is going to go from year after year. I will note that it is interesting that, you know, back in 2019, not many people knew what was going to happen or they were all on the same page. And now I've had to create a random or miscellaneous category because everybody has their own opinions. They don't really know what's going on. And it's been kind of interesting. Again, it's more of subject matter experts rather than industry experts. And so that's why some of these things are really all over the map. And you've seen that the categories have gotten wider and more. So instead of seven, there's like 12 different categories. And everyone thinks legalization or something political is going to happen, or, you know, whatever's in their own little bubble. So Jesse and I are going to break that down. We're going to pop these bubbles and tell you where we think the industry is going to go. All of that coming up.
It's only entertainment.
Welcome back to The Talking Hedge. I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast. All right, back with us is Jesse Redman. Appreciate you being back on The Talking Hedge.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So let's take a look at 2023 crystal ball predictions. We're going to try and rub some brain cells together, figure out what the industry is thinking, what they're going to do. But first off, I kind of want to take a look at some previous crystal ball predictions. And so what I've done over the last few years here is really kind of taken a look at maybe like a dozen different industry publications and then categorize them and kind of aggregate them into what the industry thinks is going to happen. So the green on the screen that you're seeing is you know, different publications guessing that there's going to be some kind of regulation or legalization or something to that degree. And so once I add all those together, one out of five was on that same mind frame of like something political or legal or regulatory was going to happen. But price and profit back in 2020, this is before COVID. Obviously, this is kind of when the economy was starting to shake without blaming COVID. Also during Vapegate, so that made number four. But again, price and profit was about 24%. Cannabis lounges, I pulled that out from the legal and regulatory political landscape because there were so many people at 16%. And then we've got cannabinoids at almost 12. CBD is really big because of the farm bill at almost 11%. And then some kind of like medical education concerns, which was really kind of around Vapegate. Do you got any opinions, Jesse, about like what was happening late 2019, maybe what they got right or wrong during 2020?
So was price or profit? What does that mean when it just says price or profit?
Yeah. So price and profit was really about companies that wanted to see valuations come back up. They wanted to see, they were mentioning that the price and revenue were struggling. They were anticipating price declines and that the publicly traded stocks needed to reflect a more profitable environment. So there was really a focus on the wholesale price as well as the stock price and the profit that these companies needed to make in order to live another day.
Yeah, so I think that's still a good one. I think if you look back to 2020, since then, we've seen a ton of price compression, and I think we're starting to see people focus more on margins and less on growth. And so I think that's a good one. I think that's still in play and maybe as important as ever. the legal one is super frustrating, right, Josh? I mean, yep. that's the one where, especially around this time where we had the Democratic sweep and we thought we were going to maybe see some campaign promises fulfilled. We thought we'd, at least I thought we'd have safe banking at least by now. Safe banking seemed like almost like a gimme back then. Yeah. And we've gotten absolutely nothing. And I don't think that's the reason a lot of companies are necessarily struggling, but I think that's really important from an investor interest and participation perspective. So I don't know if people were bullish or bearish back then, but I think that's evolved where we are today is that people have kind of, I don't know if they've given up hope on politics, but I think going into, we can talk more about this, but I think going into 23, that I think people are kind of sick of seeing that carrot dangled in front of them and are really in the show me mode more than ever. Consumption lounges, I guess. I mean, to me, that's just not a needle mover. Like a cool thing, maybe it advances the culture. Maybe that works in places like Vegas or touristy spots in LA. But we have a couple of those where I live, and I just don't see the use case that much with those. Maybe I'm too old for it. But if I'm going to have some cannabis, I'll have it by myself to relax. I'll have it with friends to hang out. But the idea of going to a public place, taking a bunch of dabs, figuring out how to get home, being super stoned in an unknown environment, maybe I just haven't been to the right ones, but I don't totally get the cannabis lounge thing. I think there is a place for that, but I don't consider that a real game breaker. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just jump to number six, which is CBD. Back when I ran a medical collective, we carried some CBD products and they never sold for us. I introduced those to hundreds of people. I gave away free CBD pre-rolls. We had tinctures. We had isolate. We had everything. And only I found if you have a specific medical issue where CBD is helpful. And to be clear, I think CBD is a real thing. My dad uses it for chronic pain. People use it for anxiety. It can help with sleep. So totally a valid medicine. But just in terms of a category, CBD is so cheap these days for reasons we don't have to fully go into. But there's this huge supply of CBD. It's grown super cheaply at big outdoor farms. And it just kind of never took off. So I don't know if people thought CBD back then was going to be a bigger thing. But I think CBD to me as a category has been a bit of a disappointment. So those kind of stand out. Price and profit, I think, more relevant than ever. Politics, super important to something happens, but I feel like people are giving up a bit there. The lounges are a bit of a miss for me. I think they'll come online. I think people will go to them in some places, especially Vegas. And then CBD kind of stands out as the one that you'll be curious to see where it goes moving forward. Maybe other cannabinoids together, like CBN. They're starting to make some nice tinctures that help us sleep with some CBN. My dad gets benefit from CBD and CBG. So not giving up on CBD, but kind of a disappointing category. You know, if you want to see that, just pull up the Hemp Fusion stock. I can't remember the ticker right now, but if you pull up the stock for Hemp Fusion, that's in the MSOS ETF. And it's literally gone from, I don't know what it was, $15, $20 down to 15 cents or something like that. So that kind of tells you all that you need to know about how CBD has been performing.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of failed. It is interesting though, as we kind of moved into 2021, the wholesale price, people didn't really care. Profit wasn't as big of a deal because I think people just gave up and they're like, well, there's going to be some consolidation instead. So that was 16% consolidation. But moving into the number one spot at almost 42% is anticipating legal and regulation political. And they were right. I think there was like five states that year that either had regulation or medical that were added. So they were there, but I think they were a little bit early, just like in 2020. They were a little bit early for cannabis cafes, even though West Hollywood and San Francisco had them. But of course, California leads the trends. Still anticipating CBD in 2021. They didn't realize that was going to be a flop. And I think Constellation sold their CBD beverage unit. And CBN, to your point, I use CBG for inflammation. I love that. Use it almost every day. Number five is 11% at demand. And I think we were kind of thinking that COVID was going to be, that demand was going to be there forever. Maybe with international expansion, they were looking at cookies and like, yeah, everybody's going to do that. And with investment surging, that was maybe a little bit early. Only 5.5% thought that investment was going to surge. Maybe looking at consolidation and some of those opportunities with distressed assets, but kind of a lot of losers on this prediction one as well.
Yeah, the biggest one obviously here is legal regulation and political. And that just shows you how much that's mattered to investors, right? You know, we've been kind of desperate for a catalyst. And I think, you know, we can talk about it. But I think that's why this fall has been so brutal, is not only did we feel like we had a good crack at Safe Bank, but we really had a big run up where it seemed like, you know, all the Twitter pundits and all the sell side banks were at 75%, 65%, some 80% on getting something done this year. And so, you know, whether it's the, you can take the meme of Lucy pulling away the football, and that just seems like what we see over and over again on that side. So I'll be curious this year to see if people still put that one so high, but yeah, that's been a big miss.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of just putting these side by side and looking at kind of how they've been shifting as time goes on. Price kind of moved down, people didn't really care about profit, political kind of moving up, Vapegate was done, cannabis lounges was a little bit too early, but they do come back in 2022. They're back. And I think maybe the people, what they want to see is kind of the window into the soul of the community to allow this for people to consume, just like a bar. You know, people go and get and drunk at a bar. They want to listen to live music. They want to hang out. They want to relax and socialize. So I think if they can monetize at all levels and offer food and everything and just make it just like a bar, consumption lounges could do well. But I think that, again, they're too early on this. Vegas is coming out, obviously California, still a Class C felony in Washington State. But I think another thing that we're looking at is a random or miscellaneous category at number 10 on this list, because as we'll see, this list kind of gets bigger and bigger. And I think that's because people just don't really know what's going to happen. They're looking at branding and brands, and that, I think that's more of a, as we more mature in the industry, we're figuring out what we want. And that came from what's the highest THC at the lowest price point down to finally figuring out what we actually want. Having come back from MJ BizCon, I don't really see a whole lot of new product innovations, but a lot of this stuff is maybe too early, like small business over MSOs and banking. I think the industry is a little bit too eager in what they want to see versus the reality.
Yeah, I think there's one thing that I've learned in cannabis, and you think you know it when you go into it because everyone tells you, but until you're really in it, you don't fully understand everything takes longer than you expect and costs more money to get done than you expect. Mm-hmm. And even what somebody tells you that, you think you've put it in your mind, give it an extra 6 months or a year. You can see from these predictions that I don't think they're necessarily wrong. I just think that they're early in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, everything's taking longer than you would expect to happen. The D8 one is a little bit interesting on the bottom there.
Yeah.
Especially when you even go a step further, do you look at Minnesota, right, where they have the hemp derived Delta 9 that they quote unquote accidentally put into the legislation. So now I'm originally from Minnesota, so I have a lot of friends still back there. And you may know this, Josh, but you can go into a bar and get a beer or a THC seltzer on tap. And I think they're fairly low dose. I want to say like 5 milligrams or something like that. But you have a choice between beer or THC seltzer, which I like better than strictly a consumption lounge, because I think that kind of frames it a little bit better, where everybody can choose their own, you know, their preferred head change, whether they want the beer or they want the cannabis. Mm-hmm. Also, in grocery stores or gas stations, you can buy these hemp-derived Delta 9 edibles that are 5 milligrams each, 10 per pack, so 50 milligram cap on those. But literally checking out at the grocery store, you can pick those up. And I think that's going to expedite legalization in Minnesota, along with the political scene there, which it's fairly Democratic, which usually leads to faster legalization, though not always. But I think that the D8 scene and the D9 scene, you know, I don't pay attention to D8 just because I'm in California. And if you have access to Delta 9 or proper cannabis, I don't think most people really care about D8. But in some of these, especially in this South or in places where cannabis isn't legal, mm-hmm. I think that D8 thing is a big deal.
Yeah. And like people like Oregon and there's other states, Washington, that have written into law not allowing it. So kind of a short-lived situation, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of these things are too early, but like I say, with finance, there's a pending collapse in the financial industry. And just because I said it early doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Right.
But just like this list, a lot of these guys, a lot of these, crystal ball predictions are a little bit too early. So for 2023, you know, it's probably going to be more of the same. Again, these are industry predictions that publications are anticipating. And so I think it's just going to be another just reshuffling of the same stuff. I think they'll probably anticipate some kind of banking or more states to come on board. Obviously, more capitulation. A lot of lounges are going to come on. We're seeing a lot of that price compression. Maybe stock price and profit is going to be important. Branding, all of the same stuff, I think, just in a different order. What's your crystal ball prediction, Jesse? What are you looking at?
So I think that I feel like this year is maybe too obvious, which is maybe why I think we get some surprises. Markets, sometimes when everyone thinks something is the consensus or is obviously going to happen, that's when you see surprises.
Yeah.
And it seems like the recipe for this year, I don't want to call it simple, but a kind of a consensus view, which I tend to agree with, is that in terms of the U.S. cannabis scene, I think that scale, size, balance sheet, and moving towards cash flow or profitability are really huge things. And so I think, if you look at the top five, that's going to favor names like, GTI, I think, is clearly best in class when you put those metrics together. The people like Curaleaf, Trulieve, I feel like used to sit in that seat, but with that Harvest acquisition, that's dug into their profitability quite a bit. But those types of names, I think people are pretty bullish on. Moving into some of the smaller ones, I think people are more concerned, and the stock price reflects this, with a name like Ayr, for example, which spent a lot of money, borrowed a lot of money to do acquisitions and to build out new stores in new states. And as they've done that, especially in places like Mass, you've seen pricing come down so much that they have continually missed revenue expectations. At the same time, they have a ton of debt on their balance sheet, and interest expenses only go up. And so I think people think that, names with more interest and counting on more growth to pay that are a little bit riskier. And that's why I think you've seen names like Ayr, just to pick on one, getting killed over the last, few months and, basically throughout last year. I think those names continue to have more challenges. On the flip side, look at something like Amerimed, smaller operator, nice little footprint, popular edibles, high-end flower, and, a profitable business. So I think if you contrast a name like Ayr versus a name like Merrimed, I think that the market's going to reward the Merrimed style, which is less growth but more profitability. And I think overall, that scale, size, balance sheet, access to credit is going to be huge. So I think you do okay this year, just kind of focusing on the top five, pick three or top five that you like, or look at the top 10, pick your favorite five, and focus on balance sheet profitability and access to credit with no near-term maturities, I think, are things that will be helpful. I'd move federal decriminalization and legalization, way down the list. I'm totally open and hoping for a positive surprise there. But if we didn't get it this year, this year wasn't about so much decriminalization or legalization, but more about safe banking. And I feel like if we didn't get that going into the lame duck period here, Schumer just came out and said now it's a 23 priority. But I mean, how many times are we going to believe that guy? How many times are we going to believe Congress, period? So to me, I'm just not even focused at all on decriminalization or legalization. My plan is to expect a difficult environment, expect inflation, expect interest rates, expect a recession, expect further pricing pressure, expect a really difficult operating environment, and focus on the types of businesses that can excel or survive during that period. And they talk a lot about the tier ones and some of the bigger tier twos building a bigger moat during this period, which I think is probably true. If everyone struggles, I think the smaller, more debt-laden operators struggle the most. So I think we'll see more differentiation between types of businesses, size, scale, and balance sheets. I think consolidation is definitely in play. I'd look at a business like Ascend as a real candidate. If I were to make a prediction, I'd say Ascend gets bought this year. I say that because they don't have a CEO after Abner stepped down, or was actually kind of promoted to executive chairman, but is no longer CEO. They're in a CEO search there that could take 6 to 9 months. Maybe that gets done and Ascend stays as a standalone business. Or I've always thought it's a great thing to plug into Trulieve, just because Trulieve is lacking a lot of that Midwest and East Coast type exposure, specifically states like Illinois and especially New Jersey would be great for them. And Kim is a strong CEO, and she could step in and be CEO of that combined business and kind of solve a couple of problems in one there for both companies. So then consolidation is definitely on the table. Merrimed, sadly, Bob passed away, right?
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
About 10 days ago.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So a real bummer there. Bob was, I think you interviewed Bob on CEO interview.
I've talked to Bob Fireman a few times, yeah. He didn't seem in bad health or nothing. That's surprising. That's too bad.
Yeah, I didn't dig into the cause, if it was an accident or if he had an underlying condition that got him. But yeah, so Bob passed away. And so now they're without a CEO. And so anytime somebody's a business that's kind of in that tier two, tier three range and lacking leadership, I think they, especially profitable at this point, I think, yeah, that could be attractive to somebody else. So I think more consolidation probably happens. On the product side, I think we previously talked about moving towards more convenience with products. And I think that's going to continue to be the trend. Just more and more, I'm seeing these pre-rolls. We talked about that a bit too. But one thing that's big out here are, rather, back in the day, you used to get about a 1 gram joint, right? Right. And that was cool if you wanted to smoke with a friend, or if you wanted to, you know, take a whole gram down yourself and be brave. You know, there's room for that. But a lot of stuff I'm seeing now are like 10 packs of 0.35s, for example, our popular form factor out here. You get 10 of those in a jar, and you can take that down yourself. And especially in this, you know, post-COVID era, where maybe we're not sharing quite as much as we used to, it's kind of a habit that's gotten baked into us. Those work pretty well.
Yeah.
I think vapes continue to get bigger, you know, live resin, live rosin, moving away from the cheaper distillate form factor. So I think a move towards convenience still happens. Yeah. And the other one on here that I think is going to be big is hitting price points. So for a while, the trend was like to do a Verano move and focus on high-end flower, thinking that that had better margins and that was what people wanted. And I still think that's true in most environments, but I think in a recession with pricing pressure and inflation and everybody spending more on gas and food, that the trade-down effect is a very real thing. And so I think people doing the good, better, best thing, where they could hit a few different price points. If somebody says, well, I've got $50, I could get one really good eighth, or I could get a decent quarter, I think a lot of people are going to move towards spending that $50 and getting a little more flour that might not be quite as top shelf. So I think that trade down effect and capitalizing on that with good, better, best is something that we'll see. Then the last one I'll throw out there is with edibles and drinks, people favoring these nano emulsion technologies, which lead to this rapid onset effect, where the edible might hit you in 30 minutes and last a couple few hours, rather than taking 90 minutes to hit and lasting 5 or 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And you know, that happens in beverages and also in a lot of edibles now in California. So I think that's a trend we'll continue to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm looking at automation. I think that price, mm-hmm. Pricing is going to continue to come down, and a lot of pressure on that from inflation and just everything else. And so with automation, you're going to see a lot more of those dog walker little pre-rolls running around, putting even more pressure on people who aren't taking advantage of, you know, either first mover advantages or opportunities to get capital to borrow whatever it takes. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot more consolidation, I think, with that. So.
Yeah, and number 9, I'll just touch on quickly as well. I followed what's going on in Germany quite a bit I was working on a couple deals over there, and then also with Curaleaf, you know, they've been active in Germany. I'll be curious to see how that plays out. I think people are thinking that maybe that's more of a kind of a 24 thing, but especially with the U.S. being more challenging, once that does turn on, I think that'll be pretty exciting for some folks, and especially I keep an eye on the German market, and maybe as the German market goes, kind of like as states legalize here, that'll motivate other neighboring countries, kind of like it does with neighboring states to turn on. So I think we're early, and I would be surprised if we get nothing much internationally in 23, but 24, 25, I think could be kind of a cool couple of years for international expansion.
Random question, Jesse. Ghana just defaulted on their national debt. Do you think that they're going to have to legalize cannabis?
That's one way to help. And that's one reason I stay so bullish on the state-led growth story, is even if a state or country, quote unquote, doesn't want it and it doesn't suit their political leanings, the fact that you can get, that's a way to get revenue, which everyone wants more revenue these days. Everyone wants to collect more taxes to do more stuff with. Mm-hmm. So I get that you're kind of joking around there, but I think that as places struggle, they get, you know, cannabis is one thing that they can't legalize, slap a tax on, and get some more money. So I think that's one thing that'll continue to help us.
All right. Well, I guess we're gonna have to wait and see if these predictions add up. We'll have to come back to the Talking Hedge and find out, I guess. But with that, I think we're gonna roll this one up. So I want to thank my guest, Jesse Redmond, who's with Higher Learning. Where can they find you at, Jesse?
Yeah, so my website is greengiants.net. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Jesse Redmond, JesseRedmond. And thanks, Josh, for having me. Happy to come back anytime.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, I'm Josh Kincaid. This is the Talking Hedge. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out. Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out. And check out these other videos that we've got.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, host of Casually Baked, the podcast. If you're curious to explore the highly responsible side of cannabis, farming, and legalization, I'm here to help lighten the stigma and build your canna confidence. Download episodes now of Casually Baked, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And journey with me through the evolving cannabis culture and discover how and why people like you are adding cannabis to their wellness toolkit. It's time to get casually baked.